Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. I am your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, where I show you how to achieve your ultimate dream body on a 100% plant-based diet. We are talking with two-time bodybuilding vegan champion Will Tucker, and in the previous episode, we got to know a little bit about Will, how he decided to go vegan, and what inspired him to continue to go vegan today. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about his meal-by-meal breakdown of exactly what he eats to achieve such massive biceps, huge pecs, and an award-winning physique. So without further ado, here's Will. Lay it out, freaking meal by meal, what you got to eat and what you're eating to get those freaking massive pecs and arms.
All right, well, let's start with breakfast. Upon waking, I have the same thing every morning. I have a bowl of steel-cut oats with berries, either strawberry, blueberry, flaxseed oil. I put a handful of walnuts in there, a little bit of agave. Usually a scoop of protein powder, and typically I use Plant Fusion. And that's every day, no matter what, 7 days a week. Mm. I start from there, and
Do you measure it out, or do you just fill the bowl?
It's usually one cup dry. So before cooking, it's one cup measured out, cooked on the stovetop, slow style, not in the microwave. And I guess they put all the goodies in there, so to speak. That yep. I mentioned earlier, and that's usually breakfast.
What about
sometimes
like the flax?
I have an additional piece of fruit with it.
What about the flax oil? Do you measure that out, or you just squirt it in?
It's usually a tablespoon.
Tablespoon of that, and then like the hemp and the you say walnuts too.
With walnuts, yeah, usually walnuts, berries, and a scoop of protein powder. As far as the walnuts and berries, I really don't measure them out. I just kind of gauge on sight. Mm. And usually one scoop of protein. Of course, that's measured out with a scoop.
What flavor is your favorite protein when you're putting that in your oatmeal?
Usually I either use vanilla or there's a cookies and cream by Plant Fusion also, which is really good. I usually mix either one of those in there with it.
Cool. Is that a tasty meal? Do you look forward to it every morning?
Every morning. That's nice. My warrior bowl. That's what keeps me going.
That's great. All right. Awesome. And what's your next meal?
Usually, maybe an hour or so after that, I'd have a piece of fruit or either some veggies and hummus. Now, day-to-day, it does change, but breakfast is always the same. So, yeah, usually just some fruit or something to kind of fill the void maybe an hour or so later. And then maybe, another hour and a half, 2 hours later, because I eat consistently throughout the day. I guess I'm more of a grazer. I'd probably have a green smoothie, which usually consists of spinach, kale, celery, a couple green apples, and I throw berries in there as well, almond milk, and a little bit of coconut water.
Nice. That sounds really good.
Those things I kind of also go off site there. I get creative with that, with fruits and veggies as far as making the smoothies. I just kind of get creative, and as long as it's palatable, I'm okay with it, you know.
Now, do you have like a template in your head of like, you know, the basic components that you've got to make sure your green smoothie has no matter what?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely got to have kale, spinach, and apple. Those are usually my base ingredients, I guess. But then from there, I, you know, explore the whole realm of fruits and veggies as far as pineapple. A lot of times I add ginger root. Gives it a little kick there, sometimes lemon or lime. I play with it. You have to be creative with it. That's the thing. A lot of people have the misconception that it's vegans or plant-based nutrition people, that you eat the same thing day in and day out. I eat the same thing for breakfast by choice. However, there's such a vast array of fruits and vegetables out there, I can never get bored with the combinations, especially as creative as I get with it.
And I got a question for you. Speaking of kale, we were just having a kale smoothie this morning. And that's usually our primary ingredient, but I feel like I'm forcing it down most of the time. Do you ever get we knock out the stem, but the kale is so freaking bitter and it's got that bitter bite to it. How do you deal with that, or do you just take it down the way it is?
You know, actually, if you add different fruits in there, it balances it out. That's what I've learned. I mean, I know exactly what you're referring to with that bite that kale has.
Oh, it's like rotten wasabi is what it tastes like.
I guess that's one way of looking at it. But, yeah, if you add an apple or some other type of sweet fruit in there, it balances it right out. Or maybe I'm just fooling myself.
I don't know. The one we had this morning was just – it was one of those smoothies where we cut the leaves off of the stem. So the stem – do you grind it up with the stem too, or do you take the stem out?
You know, typically I just use the leaves.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Yeah, so you got – exactly. So we it was just leaves. And there was like banana and some apple and some pear in there. And I drank it. And it made my right eye shut hard. It was one of those things like, oh, I had this Popeye look on my face. It's just, ugh. But I drank it down anyway because of how much healthy it is. But, all right. Well, I don't know if you had any tips for there. I'm searching for them. And those of you listening, if you've got any tips for how to make kale taste less bitter, please send them my way. I'd so appreciate that. All right. So you got your green smoothie for your third meal of the day. Do you eat anything else with that?
No, not with that. Usually that's enough to fill me up because I had quite a bit, like I say, other fruits and veggies with it to kind of bulk it up. And usually I throw ice in there sometimes to make it a little thicker. And then maybe
what do you use as your liquid? Do you do water or almond milk?
I use almond milk and coconut water.
Sometimes
I use them independent of each other. A lot of times I will mix them together just to kind of – for consistency. So it's not too thick, you know. Like I said, I do most of it by sight, so I don't have an exact science, you know, as far as a recipe for anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes I follow ones that I, you know, I may Google something or try to find something new and different, but I always add my own spin on it anyway.
Cool. So all right.
After that, usually I'm heading into my pre-workout meal, and that pretty much never changes either. It's usually a slice or two of sprouted grain, like Ezekiel bread. I usually toast it, add some almond butter on there, slice up a banana, sprinkle a little agave on there, and I'm good to go.
Oh, wow. All right, let me get that again. Toasted Ezekiel bread, banana.
Mm-hmm. Almond butter on there.
Oh, my God. And then agave?
And a little bit of agave, correct. Just drizzle a little bit of agave
just drizzle
on
that. Oh, dude, that sounds good. That sounds really good.
That's a pre-workout meal. And if it's a sluggish day, I may do the Vega Sport, the pre-workout energizer, which is also all plant-based. And that's if I just need a little extra kick. And if I do that, I usually add a little maca root in there as well, just to really get me energetic. And that's on heavy lifting days.
Okay.
When I'm feeling sluggish.
In the previous meal, I talked about taste of kale. How do you deal with the taste of maca root?
Make sure it's mixed in, like you said, the Popeye look.
Okay.
Just guzzle it down and squint that right eye.
Maca is seriously the nastiest thing I've ever tasted in powdered form.
It is, however, effective, though.
Yep.
It gives me energy like no other.
All right. So that's your pre-workout. And then and how long do you work out for?
Typically, most of my workouts last anywhere between 45 minutes to maybe an hour and 15 minutes at the most. What I've learned about myself, Thomas, is that, you know, of course, we all have different body types, your ecto, meso, and endomorphs. And I'm a true ectomorph. I have a smaller bone structure. However, I have that lean muscle, and I have the ability to build it quickly, it seems like. So what I typically do is keep it very short but intense. So 45 minutes is a typical cutoff point for me, and that works extremely well for most people with that ectomorph-type frame.
Interesting. All right, and then right after your workout?
Now we're in my post-workout. Usually I have a banana in the car with me, as well as a protein shake. And usually that's plant fusion. In there, I also add a tablespoon of flaxseed and some almond butter. And, you know, give it a little, few extra calories, make it a little thicker and filling, along with the banana.
Beautiful. All right. And then what's after that?
So then moving it throughout the day, a couple hours later, typically I snack on like fruits and nuts, maybe, you know, just to get through because I have a fitness studio and I'm training clients. So just something quick that I can grab in between, you know, if I have a 15-minute break or so. And the next meal, I guess, when I have an hour or longer break, usually my one superfood, as I call it, which is lentils and brown rice, packed with protein, good carbs, everything. That usually is very filling, sticks to the ribs. Love it. I usually have that daily towards early evening if we're looking at maybe a 4 o'clock time frame where I usually have a time to get that meal in.
How early do you get started? If I mean, this is the seventh meal that you've eaten so far. How early do you get started?
My days typically start at 5:30 a.m. training clients.
Oh, my God.
And most nights go on until 8 p.m. But, I mean, I have a variety of breaks in between there. Of course, time to work out and do other things related to business or whatever I need to do, leisure time. So it's kind of hit and miss, but there are blocks where I'm consistent, you know, maybe 2 or 3 hours back-to-back with maybe a 15-minute break, you know, in the middle somewhere.
Well, it's consistent. All right, so now, I mean, I'm like, how do you get from meal one to meal seven? And it's only 4 p.m. That's because you start at 5. So that's a good 11 hours between your first and your seventh meal. So, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. And with your lentils, okay, I freaking love lentils. I suck at making lentils. How do you make your lentils?
Usually the first thing I do after you kind of – if you get a bag of lentils, you sort them out, get, I guess, the bad ones out of it, so to speak. Look like they've been bruised up. And I usually just soak them.
Wait, lentils? You do that with lentils?
Yeah, I sit there, lay them out on the counter, and I sit there and literally individually.
Are these sprouted or non-sprouted?
They're sprouted.
Okay, so they got the little tail on them?
Yeah, they're like the little actual lentils that they sell prepackaged or whatever.
Dude, okay, I just bought some lentils. They came in a bag, and they look like little green discs. They're like tiny little tiny green chips. Now, these are not sprouted. I have to soak them in water to make them sprout. So you sprout them first?
Yeah, well, I soak them in water after I separate them. So I separate, I guess, the bad ones out, and then I soak them in the water.
That sounds like a painstaking process because it's so many damn lentils.
It can be, and you're looking almost at each one individually. However, it works for me. I guess I just read that in the instructions on the bag, too. So
really? That's so funny. I never even pay attention. Okay, so you get your lentils, and you soak the lentils, and you actually sprout them? Like, you make the little tail of it come out? It grows
like,
and is...
Correct. Once they're soaked in water, they do have the little – I know what you mean, the little tail thing.
So you do – what do you do, that the night before?
Yeah, I usually do it overnight, let them soak.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, this is something I've got to try because I haven't tried that yet. All right, so soaked, sprouted lentils. I've heard so much about sprouted stuff lately. It's just now I just want to sprout everything. Anything that's a nut or seed, I want to sprout it.
Yeah, and then from there, usually just maybe a cup or so of water to every cup of lentils and just, you know, let them simmer. Yeah, that's a cheap, quick, easy fix. Good.
How do you like to flavor it, or do you eat it plain?
Well, I cook them plain like that. Every now and then, I may dice up a red onion or something to put a little flavor, you know, and add it in the water while they're simmering, just to give it that little flavor. But typically, like I said, I usually always pair them up with brown rice. That's where I do most of the seasoning, I guess, is in the rice. Because in the water, I always add. Either other veggies, definitely onion, other seasonings, such as Mrs. Dash, put parsley, oregano, anything to give it flavor.
Okay, because garlic,
whatever.
The way you started originally saying it sounded like you're doing plain soaked lentils, simmered in water, brown rice, cooked plain, and you put the two together and suddenly you've got flavor. I'm going, how is that possible? Brown rice has got no flavor. Lentils has got no flavor. All right. So you're using Mrs. Dash and you're using some herbs and some other spices. And you throw that all on top after you've cooked it all?
Correct. A lot of times I just add that to the water. So while the rice is boiling and then you reduce heat, of course, and simmer, it's, you know, absorbing the flavor from the spices and herbs or whatever I choose to put in it. So at that point, it does have flavor once it's done cooking, add the lentils to it, and got myself my superfood.
Right on. Well, thanks for sharing all that detail. It's just for a guy like me, I am really an idiot in the kitchen. And the more simple and also the more concrete the instructions are, the better it is for me, because I really want to do a lot of lentils. I'm just I see the lentils, I get intimidated by them, like, oh, I don't even know how to turn this into something that's tasty. And the time commitment that I foresee, you know, because to me it seems like it'll take a long time to cook them, you know, kind of scares me away from it, because I don't want to screw it up. I don't want to have to go through and wait 30 minutes for it to simmer, or an hour, and then for it to turn out bad. So, all right, so you got the brown rice, you got the lentils, put them together, spice it up, and then you're good. And you said, and how much is this a big bowl of lentils that you're doing?
Usually it's one, like I said, pre-cooked, it's 1 cup to 1 cup of water, 1 cup of lentils, 1 cup of water. But I usually make a huge portion of it, but then I'd separate it into little Tupperware containers or whatever.
And then the brown rice, how much brown rice are you eating with this? Same amount?
Typically, it's lentils on top of the rice, so it'd be heavier on the rice, but just top it off completely covered with lentils. So in a big bowl or a Tupperware container as it's, you know, individual packaged.
Awesome. All right, great. So that's your 4 p.m. meal.
Correct. Yeah, that's usually around 4 o'clock. And I'd have clients and pretty much busy until 8 o'clock. However, I do have those occasional 15-minute breaks. I'd slam another protein shake. Like I say, typically my go-to is Plant Fusion. Add a tablespoon of flax, a couple of tablespoons of almond butter, blend it up. That's something quick in between. It doesn't smell up my studio, so the clients won't, you know, get hungry, you know, activate that sense in them. But then after that, typically when I go home, usually I do seitan. I dice up peppers, onions, carrots, kind of mix it all up, you know, olive oil on the pan, sauteed style. And then usually grab some jasmine rice and a bunch of spinach or broccoli, whichever. Maybe a sweet potato also. That's a typical dinner for me.
Wow, sounds like a lot of ingredients.
Oh, yeah, I eat a lot.
So I got a question for you. Back up to your protein shake. You said almond butter. Do you have a blender at your studio that you make this up in? Or are you putting all this into a shaker bottle?
No, I don't do that. I have like a little Nutribullet deal.
Okay, and so I was trying to figure out how you blended up your almond butter when you're kind of on the road or at your studio.
Yeah, I have a little mini fridge here, so I keep some flaxseed and other little knickknacks in there so that I'm never going without a meal, so to speak.
Got it. Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. With me, it's just when it comes to almond butter, the only thing I've got, I don't have a Nutribullet. All I have is the Vitamix, so the only thing I can do is I just make a ton of protein drink, like a night or the day before, and just pour them all into separate jars ahead of time, so I can just take the jars with me whenever I want that's already loaded with my protein shake.
Yeah, I do that sometimes as well, especially on weekends when I know I'm going to be out running around. I usually just make a big portion in my full-size blender at home and then separate it into a couple, either shaker cups or bottles or whatever I have available.
Right on.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Cool. All right, so, dude, we're up to 9 meals now. So, so here you are. I mean, you've already you had your lentils at home, right?
Yeah, that was when I have like that little downtime, which usually lasts like an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, that's at the gym. Okay, so you made it at home, and then you took it with you to the gym. All right, so that's your little Tupperware container of lentils. All right, so by meal 9, you're finally at home and you just made yourself the seitan, the jasmine rice, the broccoli, sweet potatoes, peppers, carrots. Do you have anything to eat after that?
No. Usually at that point, that's it for the day. That last meal, post training clients, usually that's it. It's a wrap. I put my feet up, watch Sports Center, and call it a wrap.
That is the most. That you've got the record for the greatest number of meals eaten in a day.
Really?
by any athlete or bodybuilder that I know. 9 meals, brother. That is awesome. Very cool.
I have an extremely high metabolism, so I have to constantly feed myself like that throughout the day, or I can possibly go into that, you know, catabolic type state where my body starts to feed on muscle. So don't want that to happen.
And how much water do you drink every day?
Oh, there's at least a gallon, because there's a gallon jug that follows me around throughout the day. It goes everywhere I go, and I just, it's filled up top of the morning, and I just sip on it throughout the day. Sometimes it's refilled maybe once or twice, depending on the day and how thirsty I get, I guess.
And do you take any supplements?
Other than the protein shakes that I mentioned, the plant fusion and the occasional pre-workout, no, I don't, actually.
All right. So no glutamine, no creatine, no funny pills or stuff like that, huh? Just this. So this
is it. I've used glutamine and creatine in the past, but it's been years. I just, when I need that extra little pick me up prior to a workout, like I mentioned, the Vega Pro pre workout with a little maca root in it, and the plant fusion, or occasionally I do Sun Warrior or Garden of Life proteins, also plant based proteins, and that's really about it.
That's so cool.
Other than that, I just eat.
That is so cool, Will, because I know a lot of athletes, vegan and non-vegan, they swear, especially the non-vegan ones, swear by the creatine and the glutamine, like almost to the point where it's essential, and you might as well not even waste your time if you're not going to be taking those things. And I love the fact that you're not taking them, and you're still winning contests. That's so cool.
Absolutely. I believe in whole foods first. I mean, supplementation is only necessary, I guess, out of convenience, you know, and that's the only reason I really do the protein shakes, like I mentioned earlier. It's, you know, I got 15 minutes downtime between clients. I just need something quick, fast, you know, and if I don't have one of my green drinks or one of my homemade smoothies on hand, of course, I just opt for the plant fusion or whatever. And I think that's the biggest misconception ever. You can get all of your essential vitamins, minerals from especially a plant-based diet. Mm. Like you mentioned, meat eaters, non-meat eaters opting for creatine and other forms of supplementation. Food has to be that number one resource, not what you find on the shelves at your local supplement shop.
You got some of the most cut-up arms I've ever seen. And do you do any changes to your diet when you're getting ready a couple weeks before getting on stage to get super extra lean?
The only thing that would change is I may be eating a little more, and my workouts may vary a little bit.
But as far as your nutrition goes, you actually eat more before the contest?
I would say not necessarily an additional meal like number wise, like you said, I was up to 9 there, but
yeah.
It would be, I guess, bigger meals. Like I mentioned, the post workout meal being the shake and a banana, it may be, a few bananas and a bigger portion of a bigger shake.
Now, this is fascinating to me because every single physique athlete that I know before the show, they start cutting stuff out to get as lean as possible, and you're adding more stuff.
Well, the only time I tweak down, I guess, as far as I understand what you're saying, that depletion phase, a lot of people, I think, overdo it because they start 6 or 8 weeks out and they're taking this out and taking that out. I tend to want to maintain or even bulk up a little more, and then the final 6 days prior to a show, that's the only time I tweak my macronutrients.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so what do you do 6 days before? I mean, what's the purpose? Are you trying to get – are you not as cut as you want to be 6 days before the contest? Or are you trying to add a little bit more muscularity?
At that point, I'm looking for more definition more than anything, because hopefully if I've bulked up enough where I was increasing the meals, as I stated, and then the final 6 days is where I tweak them. And typically, I would just go – lower on the carbohydrates, increase the water intake, and then change my workout routine just a little bit, and that's just 6 days prior to the stage.
And that's it. Wow. So you're gonna cut. You're gonna go low on the carbohydrates. And which carbs do you tend to cut out?
Usually, the vast majority of them, other than the ones that comes in the form of fruits and veggies, any type of grains, like I mentioned, the oatmeal, rice, the sweet potatoes. I usually literally drop those for about 72 hours. Now, this is 6 days before contest, before stage. I drop those for like 72 hours. Water intake is extremely high, but my workout has also changed, so I'm doing lightweight, high rep workouts. I'm just basically trying to deplete the glycogen stores.
Mm-hmm.
So then 72 hours in, I slash the water intake, however, bring back starchy carbs again, and then going into the stage, I carb load, deplete with the water, and hopefully time it right and be looking my best when my number is called.
How low does your water intake go when you deplete the water?
Typically, though, like the day you saw me on Friday and Saturday, I was probably as dry and dehydrated as ever. I hadn't had water probably in a good, probably 24 hours.
Zero water.
Zero.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So I depleted pretty hard with the water, because that's what I think really accentuates my leanness and the cuts that you were describing earlier to your listeners.
That's amazing. And how different do you look when you're off season than you do when you're on stage?
It's not a huge difference because I typically like the meals that I ran through earlier. That's kind of how I eat on a regular basis, and I work out fairly moderate, at least 4 to 5 days a week, even in the, I guess, off-season, quote-unquote. So it doesn't change much. I'm just holding a little water. I pretty much look the same with a little less, you know, like you said, shredded, how Robert Cheek was screaming out things from the audience. I'm not quite that dramatic, I guess. It's a little more water, look a little softer. However, there's still nice amount of leanness to it, but just not razor sharp.
Super cool. And we're going to wrap this episode up right there. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got a lot of good information and tips that maybe you can apply to your nutrition program so that you can build more muscle and get even more cut and jacked, just like Will does as he prepares for his contest. Hey, you can't argue with him. 2 first place bodybuilding wins. I mean, he obviously knows what he's talking about, yes? Talking about muscle, make sure that if you haven't already, you download your free copy of the Vegan Muscle Building Guide that I wrote. Go to veganmusclebook.com, download your free copy. And for those of you who already have a copy, I want to let you know that I have updated it. If you've got the version where there's only 6 pages, well, the newer version has 9. That's right. I threw in 3 more pages of content absolutely free. And in order to get it, you can either go and download it from the old original link that you got, or you can sign up for it all over again. No big deal. But make sure you get yourself a copy so you can start building muscle right away on a vegan diet if you're having some trouble. Also, make sure that you join us on the conversation that's already taken place over at the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/veganbodyrevolution. And if you enjoyed this episode so far, please do us a huge favor. If you feel that we deserve 5 stars, rate us on iTunes. That's right, iTunes, because that really is what helps us get our message to more people, and it gets it out there so people really can understand that you can build the body that you want on a 100% plant-based diet. And that's it for today. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Thomas Tadlock, your host of the Vegan Body Revolution Show, and I will catch you on the next podcast.